Hello, listeners. Welcome to Airsoft and Chill. On today's episode, you're joined by...
Outlaw Airsoft,
Reaper,
Sketch,
and Paladin. On today's show, we're going to be taking a look at some cracking rifles. And first off on the list is the new Double Bell Drakkaris.
Drakkaris.
Yes, I was trying to be all Game of Thrones, which is obviously where it's been taken from. But yeah, talk us through it, Outlaw.
Released about 4 days ago by Double Bell. It is their sort of direct copy of the Genesis Gen 12, which was more commonly seen in the John Wick franchises, the Dragon's Breath shotgun he uses, where they do the overhead aerial footage as he goes through the building.
Yep.
I've just done my own YouTube video on this, and I can only really sort of go back over what I've said already.
Before we start, what's your YouTube video?
Outlaw Airsoft. Just cool. Outlaw Airsoft. Thank you, there, Con. They smashed it out of the park. Double Bell have absolutely nailed that. The build quality is ridiculous for something which, for a brand which you always think is Double Bell, it's a bit. But no, they're really up in their game. A couple of little niggles with it, which I think we've all had a quick look and all sort of agreed with the same thing. The biggest letdown, I think, is probably the fact that it's not actually a shotgun. It is just an AEG, so single barrel, M4 internals, that kind of... But, yeah.
So just to talk about that, in the John Wick 4, wasn't it? Yeah. The most recent iteration.
I've not seen it.
It's a full auto shotgun. It is. Capable of holding, I want to say, 12?
10.
Right? 10 rounds.
10 rounds in the mag, one. Well, so 11. It's 10 plus 1 if you go straight it. So.
Okay. And obviously, as you mentioned, they were using incendiary rounds, weren't they? They were like Dragon's Breath.
Hence the Drakkaris and the
And the Game of Thrones reference.
Speaking of Dragon's Breath, Jesus wept your garlicky boy.
You've been munching on garlic bread before you come here.
Yeah, I had a bit of garlic bread.
I may have had a tipple.
I was trying to keep that on the down low, so but I did apologise pre-starting.
I could taste it.
I'm sorry.
Right, carry on.
But obviously, yeah, this is almost like an M4 variant of the... Would you say like a Saga 12
in its
real steel iteration?
It's a box. It's what they call a box-fed shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
What we're looking at there.
There's a gash there.
Yeah, there's one on each side.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's where they've milled out for the key mod.
Oh, okay.
That's the other thing. I don't understand why, even on the real Genesis, they've gone with key mod. Because it's like M-Lock is on everything now. It's a better mounting system.
Yeah.
And yet they've stuck with key mod on there. And I can understand they've obviously done it on here to make it true to the original. But yeah, it's just...
Was the original, obviously the Taran Tactical variant, obviously traded up with Taran Tactical all over it. Did they change the handguard? I have a feeling it was a different handguard on the Taran Tactical
one. I'm not 100% sure. Obviously Wolverine have just shot, because obviously Shot Show's going on as we speak at the minute. Wolverine came out a couple of days ago with a collaboration with Taran and Evike on one that they've made in-house, and it has that same rail on it. So whether they changed it for the film, I don't know. But yeah, the Wolverine variant of this and the Taran Tactical one that they advertise online has that exact key mod rail. But what do you guys think?
I like it. But.
Oh, there's a but.
Yeah.
It's no Novescu.
No. I'll talk about that in a minute. You reminded me because I need to do a shout out for somebody. The magazine just feels, I mean, you can look at it and it feels like it'll break. And the fact that it's based on a shotgun, but it's not a shotgun, is. Other than that, I think it's quite a beautiful looking gun. Would I buy one? Probably not, because I'm expecting it to be a shotgun and it's not a shotgun. If it was a shotgun, and you made a point earlier, if they made a gas variant of that, that'd be going straight into my basket.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it's super slick. I like the colour. It's just, like you said, disappointing with the magazine. If that was a normal M4 mag that you could go with that, that's 100% on my list.
Yeah.
100%. I don't know. It's the first gun I've seen in a while that's actually made me really go, I like that. I want one.
Is it just because it's the colour, though? Is that what's drawing you in?
No. I think it's pretty sleek. It's a nice shape. It's slim. It's slim-lined. It's quite robust. It's well-built.
It doesn't look like every other M4.
It doesn't look like every other M4.
Oddly enough, though, isn't that sold as like a tan version?
They describe it as tan.
Tan, but there's... What would you describe that as?
That is a light gunmetal grey.
Well, I don't know. In this light here, the way the ring light is on this corner, it's almost a bit bronzy. Dark bronze.
It's like a charcoal grey bronze. It's definitely not tan.
No, and it's not a colour you're going to see on anything else, which again makes it a little bit special, I think.
And that's why I kind of like it. It doesn't look like anything else.
It's a full metal receiver as well.
I even like the rear stock.
Are they going to...
I like the shape. I know it's supposed to be matte, and there's a little bit of issues that it's starting to shine up.
It is nice that it comes away from the crane.
Yeah.
The only thing I dislike about it in when I looked at it is the lack of battery space.
Yeah, you need a thin sort of tube, because the only battery space in that from factory is the tube.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to... Well, my plan is to go to town on that. I've got a list of things I want to do to it, and the first thing I'm going to do is change that butt stock out to one that can actually hold a nunchuck battery, like the PTS, the EPSCs, the larger. So it's got that shape still.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the wings on the side of it, so you can put some nunchuck... I mean, the storage space on there is... fucking huge. Sorry, that's war.
He's good at that.
We'll have a little counter.
Put a counter up at the bottom.
Are we going to have a swear jar?
Oh, then,
no. Put a BB in the swear jar.
Yeah, BB in the swear jar.
0.36 as well.
That is kind of going to be the first thing that I change on that, because I'm going to do a custom build with that. I want to have a look at, to sort of address size point, what I want to do is have a look at having a conversion plate to slide up into that magwell to use M4 mags in there. Because I think for the time being, they're probably going to be a better option than that for skirmishing.
Yeah,
it's clear to see for such a good-looking piece of kit that they have hashed it right up when it comes to the magazine. That is appalling.
Are they going to do a... full metal. I mean, the likelihood is, though, that the real magazine is probably polymer.
It looks and feels probably very much like that.
Very much like the real mag.
Your Tesco bag or shell bag or whatever it is you just bought is stronger than that.
Yeah, watch.
So there's a certain degree of flex for the...
Kai come up with a very good idea, which is something I'm going to have a look at with that standard mag, is that Raptor spray that you put on truck beds.
Yeah.
Bed liner, yeah.
I'm going to...
And it's matte finish as well, and they do...
And it's quite dense as well, isn't it? So I think what I might do is mask the mag up and coat that in a Raptor finish and see if it kind of stiffens it and quietens it slightly.
Yeah.
If not, one thing I am going to try is obviously you can get the silicone mag covers which go over the mags to help your grip take them in and out. I'll see if I can get one and put it on that, just see if it quietens it down a little bit. And protects it.
I think even with the idea that you said that you would take it apart and put something on the inside.
Yeah.
But I just think with that, though, obviously that's to cancel out the noise. I think if that still hits it, it's still going to crack.
Yes, and I think that's why an external cover on it might be a better option than an internal cover.
The thing is with these, is because they've got the high caps, you've got the spring-loaded winder in there, and they all sit in the chamber, and as you're winding this round, you've got all the little prongs on the cog, which feed them up into the tube, feed them up into the guide, should I say. It's not even a tube, to feed them in. I think you might struggle with...
like an internal...
an internal thing because of feeding issues.
Yeah.
But it's something to certainly look at. It's not undoable, I'm sure, but I think it would just be a struggle.
I think if I could do an M4 mag conversion on it, that's kind of going to be the main focus. I spoke to the guy that I use for 3D design and print, and I'm getting the gun to him next week so he can have a look and see if he can do it.
I don't think you could. To keep the look, you want something that looks like it can take a shotgun shell.
The thing is, if I was buying that, I'm not interested in the mag.
I'd argue that you'd almost want, instead of an M4, like a, well, like a 7.62 rounded mag or something.
The problem
like that.
Is, if you were to do that, if you were to go for sort of a 308 style mag with it, the adapter would need to, would basically take up most of that well and probably stick out the bottom as well.
Yeah.
Whereas with an M4, because I've tried, an M4 mag will go up and latch and sit at the bottom of the hop unit. It just, you've got a massive gap at the front here.
Mm.
So I'm just thinking about making it more skirmishable.
Does the Terran Tactical, look, I'm spitballing here, does the Terran Tactical variant have an even more flared magwell?
Because
that's got a flared well to it already. It strikes me that Terran would probably egg that on a little bit more, because that's
probably,
kind of like the style.
Yeah.
And then your adapter could be to turn that into a more flared magwell, and the mag just sit in the mag, in the flared section of the flared magwell.
Possibly, yeah.
And then it sort of feeds up from there. You'd have to 3D print one hell of a fucking... Oh, sorry.
That's not just me.
BB in the pot. I tell you what we could do for the listeners, something that strikes me we've never done before, listeners, is go tip to butt and describe the rifle out audibly to the listener. So up at the front there, you've got quite a big... flash hider style thing. Would you say that's Ace Tech size? You said Ace Tech.
Yeah.
On it. It does strike me that that's kind of...
It's roughly the same size, and you've got the same sort of... I can't remember what that bit is called.
Knurling on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, the aesthetic would suit it if you put an Ace Tech on it. Ace Tech, was it? I don't know what their model is.
Not the Predator, is it? No.
You're talking about the Tracer unit, Ace Tech.
Yeah.
That would look really good with an Ace Tech BT lighter on it or something like that.
Because
it won't have like this on it, but it would look like, it would almost look like
Have you taken that off yet to check the threads? Does the barrel sit proud of, or does the threaded section sit proud of this?
The threaded section is right at the base of that. Which...
I wonder.
Actually,
what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I loan you.
There we go. Look.
Oh, for the listener at home,
we're screwing.
We're all screwing. It's got a lot of threads.
That's got a lot of threads on it, isn't it?
So there you go.
Ooh.
Sits around inside.
I wonder if I loan you my VMP1.
Oh, to put it.
Put that massive, great thing on the front of it.
Don't know if it would fit because that sits down.
Yeah, because it sits ever so slightly, but then you can have a barrel extension there.
But I'll tell you what, you know that big, chonky silencer I've got on the 416?
Put that on there.
That might look good on there as a silencer.
However, though, you're not. It's in the realm of silencing, it's for an M4, isn't it? You're not going to want to.
Yeah,
that being as a shotgun that it's supposed to be. You ain't gonna think of design to be suppressed today. With that out of that there, I would have that.
Yeah.
It's really good.
If that was on a 308 base,
with
and would take normal 308 mags of some sort.
There's only one way to find out, isn't there?
Yeah, well, I need to get one of those mags ordered up. Desperately.
So, if that was 308, and if it does take a 308, I could be swayed.
Yeah. Mm.
So moving back further along, I mean, we've got a monolithic rail across the top. Does that interlace at all? Like some rifles, the monolithic upper has like a little jigsaw piece in it?
There's two pins, or like a pin leg, which goes into the upper receiver to stop it from going side to side.
Right, okay. So we've got a monolithic upper, we've got a key mod rail at basically every position bar 12 o'clock. What do you think of that? Do you like the rail system itself?
Yes.
It's just the key mod you don't like.
I don't understand why they went with key mod. Mm. But, key mod was sort of... That was the thing when I first started in airsofting, like 2016, 2017. It was key mod everything. And then the M-Lock thing came over from Real Steel.
Mm.
And sort of... did the same thing that Keymod did in Airsoft. I don't know if it's a better holding system, or I don't know.
Are all four of those functional? They're all gripping the...
I went to take that off earlier on, and it ruined two of my Allen keys. They are in that tight. So whether they thread-locked them or...
So for the listener at home, we're talking about the retention screws for...
The rail.
The rail, which would hold it onto the...
It could just be that I was using very, very cheap Allen keys, which come out of IKEA furniture. That's a possibility, but...
And then we have not quite... Well, that's clearly not... Even though it's got a V2 gearbox in it, the upper and lower are clearly not M4 style. That's... what you'd call that? That's not...
I can't see, to be honest.
Shall I hold it further away?
The light's right in my eyes. I'm just struggling.
But we've got ambidextrous charging handle.
That I like.
Which is offset.
It is offset. One sits higher than the other.
Oh, ooh, what a clever little detail.
Do you know the interesting thing? When that comes in the box, those charging handles aren't actually on there. They're in a little bag with the screws and an Allen key so you can fit them.
Okay.
It comes with everything, which I thought was a nice little touch.
So we have a rotary hop, do we, inside?
We do. Yeah. And I think it's proprietary, but I'm not 100% sure. It looks it.
So I want one.
It retains the... It locks back the bolt. You have a working bolt release. What's that feel like to release, Kai?
Because that's 6 pounds of pressure.
That looks really thin.
No, it
feels solid enough.
Oh yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not that heavy a bolt.
No,
coming cool.
Is it? That's plastic, isn't it?
That is. It looks
what
plastic.
The actual cover.
No. Bolt release.
No, it's apparently metal.
Are you sure? Because there's mould lines there.
I'll eat it and find out.
I don't know.
And then we've got a really nice flared magwell, which, like I say, I think there's probably a bigger one on there.
I'm not a fan of flared magwells, but that suits it.
I think it suits it because it's offset against the actual Cerakote of the... Is that Cerakoted?
No, it's not.
Paint,
it's just paint.
It's a very good paint job.
So artificial powder paint, I guess.
Genuine
powder paint.
Genuine
fake powder paints.
Oh, it does feel
the colour's
good.
Great. The colour's really good.
I like the fact that it's two-tone. All the accessories are still black while that...
How new to the market is this?
It was released in the UK 4 days ago.
And it certainly stands out as something different.
Mm. What sort of optics would you run on it? Being a shotgun, you don't need anything.
Do you know what? I think it's going to look really good on there.
What?
I reckon that UH1 is going to look pretty good on the top of that. It's got similar lines, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you actually look where the back of that rail comes up, it comes up at an angle like the UH1 does.
Yes, yeah.
I've got my knockoff one in the truck. I might go run and grab it in a minute.
Could do that in the interlude or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I could see the UH1 on that. What did he run anything in the movie? Or was it just running iron sights?
Thing is, with that being a real shotgun, you just run a dot. You would run a dot sight on it.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it would
be something that is strictly just immediate target acquisition.
Yeah. So any type
big,
of
big open reticle.
Not necessarily, but just something that gives you an immediate vicinity of where it's going.
Yeah, I think any type of red dot or holographic with no magnification would be
holographics. I've been into my holos for a while, and I'm starting to steer away from them a little bit now. But it could, yeah. Not the big ass long one though.
No.
The stubbier one. I can't remember.
The 5.56?
Yeah, the one like I've got.
Yeah.
That small one would be nice on there. However, like you say, practicality wise and how you're going to use it.
Do you not think the UH1 will be a bit too big and clumpy?
No, I think it would sit better. I think those hollows, they're seated quite low, aren't they? Yeah. A lot of like your red dots and your vortexes and things, they sit up a bit, don't they? So without actually having to put like a rise panel on there, you'd get away with it. Whereas if you had something like the hollow on there, it's going to be really quite low sat.
I think I'd actually probably stick with irons. Go for a really nice chunky set of irons.
Some little flip-up fibres or something.
Yeah.
Little meaty-looking bastards.
Orange at the front, green at the back.
Could you get away with something like a MP7? Because they're quite square.
Yeah.
And when they're folded down, they've still got the posts, haven't they? The mini posts, and then you bring them up.
Well, Mark 18?
Yeah. Or a rotary, like a barrel HK style one at the back, maybe. I don't know. But I think if it's shotgun, you go irons, maybe.
But it's not shotgun.
It's not a shotgun, it's an AEG.
I'd be happy to run that as it is.
Yeah.
Without, even if you don't have any optics, I think it's such a good looking piece in itself that before you start putting any furniture on it, you can enjoy that as it is. Stripped down, naked. This would be absolutely dope in the CQB.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Absolutely.
Would you torch it though? Would you keem or torch it?
Yeah, I'd stick a torch on because I'm not a tracer person. I would torch it, yeah. Maybe a low-lying pressure pad. Or maybe even get, I'd have a pressure plate on the top 45 there, on the rail. Yeah. So it wasn't too much down here. Just kept that sleek design to it. It would still fit within this. It wouldn't, like up here, it would stick up, wouldn't it? Yeah. You'd still keep that nice slick line on the 45.
You can get a torch.
You're
mount.
Sold already.
I absolutely showed me it.
You can get a torch mount like mine where it sits offset, lock onto there.
Sponsored, strategic. I really like it.
It'd be another accessory in black, which would offset everything else.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whatever goes on there, it's got to be in black.
Yeah.
Does it double bell, sort your mag out, and I'll have it.
Yeah, but again, like I say, I think the real one's probably not too similar.
Do you know what? I wouldn't be buying it on the basis of that it looks like the real one. If you hadn't told me that this was the one in the John Wick gun and all this stuff, I would look at that and go, I want one of them, 100%, just on it, the way it looks now. Nothing to do with it needing... If you hadn't told me it was a shotgun, wouldn't I give a shit?
Yeah.
They're absolutely happy with it.
BB in the jar.
BB in the jar. That's a mild... That's half a BB. That's a floor BB. It's just a 2.5. I really do.
For me, again, like, it's really nice as an AEG. I've just got that fundamental thing. It's supposed to be a shotgun. Especially with this mag as well. I think if you run that, especially in CQB, like, a shot to that, that's your night ruined. And especially if you said you can't get mags at the moment.
Yeah, I've had a look and I can't find... spare mags. They don't seem to be doing that. But the gun came into the country 4 days ago. I think Luke, Negative Airsoft, did a review on it. I think he got his the day they arrived. These were shipped straight to him. The following morning, I ordered this one. I was on the fence about ordering it anyway. Mm. I watched his review and thought, I'll get one of those in. Because if he generally comes straight out of the gate and says, I like
it's
it.
It's good, yeah.
It's generally pretty good. I wanted to get something in which not a lot of people down here have got in at the moment, and I don't think anybody else has got one of these in stock at the minute. So it seems like a good opportunity for me to pull it apart and do a build on it and make something a bit different with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely try 308 mags if you can
get
some.
Yes, I am going to try that.
Even looking at that, I don't know, I reckon my...
That is metal, that release.
I reckon that G&G one.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just too busy touching everything. I lost all feet.
But it is very thin.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could get someone to ping me a picture of my 308 mag from the top like that. Because it's very similar to that. Very similar. I can't remember. This could be a little further forward. It may not be though.
That's a bug there.
I understand.
That's nothing. A little bit of tape won't sort out.
What's it like to fire? Have you fired it yet?
Yeah, I stuck it through the chrono and it was 0.86 of a joule. So it's not too bad. After watching that other video, he put what did he put in there? An M110, didn't he?
Yeah.
And it went up to like 1.2 joules. So I'm thinking with an M100 in there, it should a decent quality M100. You should probably get that up to where it needs to be.
But regardless of which spring, it was always consistent in that video.
Oh yeah, massively consistent. Yeah. And if you actually look up in the, it's got a bright red nozzle in there, so I don't know if that's an air-sealed nozzle on there. They reckon the gearbox is partially upgraded with half-decent stuff, so I'll find out when I pull it apart and put a MOSFET in it.
Mm. And what are they retailing at?
Retail is between $290 and $310, depending on where you look. I'm probably going to knock them out at sort of... The standard ones will go out at $285, $290. It depends, really. the custom variant that I'm going to do is kind of to be confirmed at the minute. I don't really know what I'm going
to
put into it. Yeah, so
you've done a build to it. You're not sure.
But
did you want a HPA one?
Of course he does.
Of course he does.
No, yeah. I'll wait for Wolverine to release theirs and I'll just buy that. It saves all the hassle of alignment and everything else.
I think 290, 300, I think for somebody that started off wants to upgrade their gun, but don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole in budget, I don't think that's very offensive at all. I think it's a nice, comfortable budget, isn't it?
You look at... So, as a fully automatic shotgun...
It's not...
Well, no, but that's what it's replicating. What are your other options in airsoft? You're talking the new Saga 12, which is a gas blowback.
Yeah. But that's a shotgun.
Yeah. You're looking at the...
Don't try it. You won't win. It's not a shotgun. It looks like a shotgun.
But well, it's not. It's a single barrel. You can get shotguns that are single barrel.
Yeah, but it's not.
And you can get full auto shotguns. Look at the AA-12. Look at the SGR-12.
No, I'm sorry.
They're tri barrels, but they're AAG.
Yeah.
And just like with shotguns, you can get a single barrel shotgun or a tri barrel shotgun.
I think I said to Kai earlier on what I'd like to do is. Because obviously, when I get this, when I've done the custom work on it, it's going to go off, and I'll have my logo laser etched into there, and I'll sort out where it says safe and fire, and then nothing as it switches round to full auto. Whatever MOSFET I put in there, I'll have it so that on full auto I can change it to 3-round burst. And if I can get the fire rate up enough, and can get 3 of those BBs out in quite
3-round burst,
and if
if we're going shotgun, why don't we go? 6-round burst.
Well,
you can get on
the Combat Machine series, you can do 3 or 5-round burst.
Yeah. Oh,
a little five round buckshot out of it might be nice.
Yeah. That would be good.
That would make me feel better.
Okay, yeah. So its main rival, I would argue, is the. Oh my god. With all the acronyms I just threw out, I've completely forgotten
what SGR?
The Saga 12. That's the most recent release, and they are how much retail? You're gonna do a Marui, it's got to be 650, isn't it?
I think you're climbing up the ladder at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is if you want that kind of full auto shotgun appeal, I know before you argue it's an AG, that is the entryway into that world.
And I think when you compare this... Cool.
The rule of cool applies here.
The rule of cool definitely applies.
If I can get the build done properly and get it right and I'm happy with it and I can set that to a 3-, 4-, 5-round burst and I've got a decent rate of fire with it, if you were to compare it then to like the Saga 12 or whatever you want to call it, the price difference between the two, you having a standard Saga 12 or a fully upgraded one of these, this realistically would probably be the better option for performance.
Yep.
You're just not getting that
recoil.
Yeah.
The clacking.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you were to HPA it with a Wolverine engine and then put
the Quake stock
on the back of it.
If they put that into gas blowback production, that is going to be amazing. It's going to be shit hot.
I'd like to see.
Oh yeah, I'd have one instantly.
Well, could you retrofit a Saga 12 internals into that?
They're entirely into the different. Shell? Entirely different. It's like the same with the NGRS and stuff like that. They just don't go because obviously you've got the recoil weights in the back and they're very specific.
Tell you what, if you wanted a HPA, I have an engine I'd be willing to part with.
Oh, don't be doing that, man. Maybe if I buy my own one. Emma's given me the go ahead. So.
Oh, yeah, the boss has said it's okay.
Yeah, the boss has said, why don't you get another one for yourself? Oh, okay.
That's a green light.
I should order another one and keep this one, seeing as I fucking marred the receiver on it slightly.
That's another BB in the jar, please.
Another 3-6.
Never mind.
We should have our own jar with our own name on it.
So, yes.
So we can weigh up at the end. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, very, very nice.
I was very happy to be able to get it as quickly as I did. I only ordered it yesterday and it came today.
That's good.
Only your Noveski was as quick.
Well, so...
Yes, moving on to that.
Speaking of Noveski,
You said you had to shout someone out.
Yes, so there's a lad called Kurt that I've been sort of talking to, sort of met him through Preppers, but he does play Airsoft. He knows of you guys, played at Tier 1,
Mr.
played at
Padman. Wildman, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Kurt Wildman. And he has got a load of Noveski M4 mags and he's upgraded them. He's not going to use them because he's stuck to MWS, so he's giving me two to when my Noveski turns up, which could be next week.
Hey, you're due soon, aren't you?
30, well, the DEFCON.
You made his plan like his pet ones.
Yeah.
You're due soon.
I'm not bothered. Help yourself, mate.
I've emailed DEFCON. This was before the Houthi attacks, and I was like, I've heard there's piracy. What's going on? This is at the start of January. They've emailed back saying, we'll find out. So I emailed them again saying, like, what is actually going on? They said, end of January. So,
which is upon us.
Very, by the time
very swiftly.
Paul edits this and sorts this out, you'll be listening to this in March. So go back 2 months and I've still not got my Noveski.
I can't wait.
We're now leading into June.
I can't wait for the Noveski to turn up because it's another one that... Should it perform... As it's been sold as to perform, it's in the basket.
Can you imagine with his luck with new rivals?
No, I can't imagine. I know exactly.
All this time, and it'll be missing the charging handle.
It'll have no trigger in it or something.
It'll be something
it's
stupid.
Okay because it's modular. TM. You put something else in it, apparently.
Where did you buy it? Rob Cook.
Shout out to Rob.
Hey, big Rob.
So that should be next week, and Kurt sort me out with some mags. And he's upgraded them. It's, I think like Garda valve seals or something, whatever it is.
Are you looking forward to handing it over to me for the 12-month testing phase?
Absolutely not.
I'm the one that's going to have to put it through its paces.
The only thing I've heard people say you've had them and got them and used them is upgrade the bucking and nub. So I've got a new bucking. I've got Flamingo, Pink Flamingo, and I've got a Bavtap nub. That is the only thing I've heard people say.
Really.
No one knows what the actual barrel is. Every time I've asked people, they're like, I'm not actually sure. And there's nothing on the specifications.
What diameter? I don't know, because
it's going to be a...
Was it Jaeger who took one apart and it's like identical to the MWS barrel?
So was that...
But he changed it over to an MWS barrel, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. Because I think... So there's two variants I've heard. So there's the normal market one and the Taiwan market one, which the Taiwan, they've been fishing out quicker, but it's a shorter inner barrel.
Which ones... They're still the same material, though. There's still a brass inner barrel.
Still a brass barrel.
Yeah.
But you want a stainless barrel anyway.
Yeah.
Because that's better.
Yeah, so I'll probably change it... When I change the bucket and then thingy,
You can always get a good price on barrels and bullseye if you need one quick. They're pretty quick.
I'll just speak to Brett. He said he's got a spare one.
He's got one.
Yeah. So I've got...
I sell stuff.
Yeah. I've got a couple of Noveski mags. And then Kurt's got, I think, 3 more or something. He bought 5 or 6 or something and he's upgraded them all. So
quite literally, the only thing you're missing is the gun.
Yeah. So I bought...
Standard practice for you, isn't it?
Yeah. So I've got the upgraded inner.
The gun.
Upgraded inner. I will have an upgraded inner by the end of the show. I've got the bucking nub. I've got a new pistol grip and I've got a new stock. So I've got a Magpul CTR stock and grip. Obviously, now I've got mags, upgraded mags. Just no gun.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
So excited. Yeah. Now that they've said it's next week, I'm like,
yeah. The field test is going to be the best part of it because all the waiting and everything. We've got to have that payoff because if you don't,
it's been hyped up so much.
Yeah.
But then I keep seeing people use theirs. I've not really heard of a bad thing about it.
Who had one when you first mentioned them? You already have one.
The Goon Club guys.
Yeah, Jake's got one.
And he rates his, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's who I messaged straight away. So I was like, I've just ordered this, what's it like? And he was like, just upgrade your bucket and nub. And that's what a lot of people keep saying. So, Noveski.
I'm still tempted to get one because I've got, I think it's two people on who paid me for a pre-order. So as soon as they come in, I can
Max's order.
Max and somebody else. And you're
mate, John.
Yeah, John.
He's toying with it.
He's toying with it at the moment.
Yeah, I've got someone who's there. I showed him one the other day and said that you've got one. He was like, oh, if it was good as all that, I might get one.
Who's that?
So I'm very tempted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel. Do you know who I feel like every time I bring it up? Remember that show called Top Gear? And James May and the Dacia Sandero.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's who I feel like. Every time I rock it, I'm like, good news!
Oh, talking about things, a blast from the past, we have a very old rifle in front of us. What are you doing? Oh, you're scrolling to it.
Yeah.
Okay, well done.
What are you doing?
What is it, Kai? Because you've got all the notes in front of you.
It is an S&T Lee Enfield. And let me tell you, this is the funniest thing I've ever played with. It's so comical, but yet it's so good.
It is good. It chronos at 0.8 of a joule, but will fire a BB out to about 65 metres dead flat.
It's fantastic.
Dead flat out to about 65 metres. And it, but the problem is, when it gets out to that range, you could probably walk quicker than it. Yeah. Was it you up behind the trenches when he was firing at me with it?
No, that was Matt.
That was Matt. Matt was stood next to him, and I was down by the buses, and he was up by the back of the trenches. And as he was shooting at me, I could watch the BB come in, and at the last minute, just step out the way.
Ah, Matrix style.
And it's surprised you didn't.
Just pluck it from the air.
But it is such a fun gun to use.
I see a clip of you in there with a CQB.
I didn't put this one up because it was quite offensive, but I can't remember what that general's name is from Schindler's List.
Oh, good lord.
But I was pretending I was him. Do you know he's on the balcony?
Yeah.
With his smoke.
So, this, according to all the Bump Online, has a 50mm 603... Tight ball barrel. Everything's tight ball now.
Everything's
tight.
Which isn't even here.
Yeah.
We'll find out when we get to it.
It's got an iron bolt.
Yeah.
Apparently. I'm not sure what that does to the performance of it, but...
Not a lot.
But yeah, it's a selling point that they make sure they
it
mention.
It fires at 0.8 of a joule, so it's clearly not doing much.
They reckon it's pushing out, all the Bump Online say it's pushing out 350 FPS, but that's probably with a 0.2.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, does that sound about right? 0.8 of a joule?
Really?
No.
No, because 350 FPS on a 0.2 would be about 1.12, 1.13 joule, something like that.
Mm.
But... Josh has dropped that over to me to see if I can just bump the power up a little bit, but he wants to keep it below 1.14 joules so he can continue to play with it in CQB.
Honestly, it was the funniest thing playing against Josh with that. It's just hilarious. It's just watching him watch the barrel
comes around the door.
You're like, go away, Josh.
But it's got a 35 round metal mag, unlike the Dracaris in front of us.
Yep.
Dracaris.
35 round mag. All wood.
All wood and metal.
I mean, it's not heavy, though.
It's not overly heavy. The build quality is...
Is it actually really wood? Good.
Yeah.
Touch my wood.
Woody.
It's got like a varnished finish.
I want to feel.
The only... downside to it, Josh was saying. On the rear here, there's a hammer.
Yeah, and it's come off.
It's come off. So that is somewhere on Badlands, but it done nothing anyway. It was only when the bolt comes back and then.
Well, it still clicks forward, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you fire it, to simulate that.
But
I think it's a good looking piece, honestly.
Another one of those guns, I'm very tempted to buy one
because
I like the weird and wonderful stuff, and the fact that it does work so well and it's very, very accurate, and the bolt is so light to pull back. This is part of the thing, like when I spoke to him and he said, I'd like you to sort of keep it as light as possible.
Cock it to dry fire.
Because to cock it is just
stranger, isn't
it? It's effortless.
And it's a very short pull.
Short pull.
It's... ASO2 kind of style?
It is, but the actual internals are kind of a mashup between L96 and VSR.
Oh, okay.
So I need to probably get it apart. to sort of, I'm gonna have to cut a spring down, I think.
So if it didn't perform so well out of the box, there would be plenty of upgrading parts you could retrofit into it. But
that's my plan. That's my plan.
I think the best bit about it, though, is Josh had bought this because he loves it and he's skirmishing with it and he's enjoying it. It's not a wall hanger for him.
It was going to be.
That's the thing.
That's the thing. He bought it as a wall hanger and then went, actually, this is really good fun to use.
Really good, yeah.
And then the fact that he cracked out in CQB and we were just laughing our nut off when we were just fighting each other. We're purposely finding each other around tier one just so we can have a little shootout. And it's just, yeah.
I think it's one of those things. I mean, we've talked about it before on the show where, the hop adjustment. Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Which
mess with the top.
you know, we've talked on the show about you know, almost needing a weapon from every genre, haven't we? So, like, do you have a cowboy rifle, a Winchester, or a revolver, or some kind of barrel?
Which to hold the wood, or
And as an actual functioning World War II rifle, that's probably a really good option. Because you said before, a lot of the replica World War II stuff doesn't actually function that well because it's so hard to get to work. You know, if it's gas blowback, it doesn't cycle particularly well. And
I remember when these first come out a few years ago and the hype around them was unreal. I think S&T were the first people to bring one out. I think somebody else brought one out first and it was okay, but it wasn't brilliant.
Was it not Ares?
It might have been Ares, yeah.
So I feel like, because Ares have an historical...
Ares have got a gas one as well. Ares wants gas, isn't it? Whereas this came out and just blew up the market, really.
If I was going to go World War II era gun, let's just avoid the obvious of what we would all pick.
Thompson.
Oh, no, I was going to get
everyone. The Thompson, you said before, the Thompson doesn't cycle all that well. If you get it in the gas blowback and the AEDs...
It can be finicky in gas blowback, yeah.
But this is an actual functioning.
Yeah, I get that, but I thought we, on the grounds of if we were picking one that we would have.
See, for me, no, it's not. For me, if I was going to do it, I wouldn't go Lee Enfield. I'll go Kar 98 because again, it's bolt action, and I think it'd work just as well.
Hasn't Tyler got a bolt action Kar 98?
Not sure.
I like the feel of it.
It's so much fun.
Yeah,
it brings so much joy, especially when someone whips it out, and that's what I like. It's just. The smiles behind people's faces when you get hit with it, or if you move out of the way from it.
Does it come with this classic style sling, or did he find one?
I think he found it and put it on.
That's a nice little touch, though, isn't it?
I do like with anytime somebody turns up with, because Tyler obviously comes and he's always in full kit and he's got all the rifles and I do like it, even when Ben is out there with his blooming trench whistle. And sort of, you know, the game starts and you're blowing the whistle and running over the trenches, shouting for king and country. It's a laugh, and it's nice to see people using older stuff and getting on with it and just
making it work.
It's like what we said a long time ago, isn't it? It's if you're going to buy something and you're enjoying it, then you're going to go out and enjoy the sport. You know, it doesn't have to be the newest, top of the range, absolutely Gucci'd out with all the internals and all the bits and pieces. If you find something that you like the look of and you can have fun and use it, that's it. You're doing it.
It is. Honestly, after that evening, he just proves it, doesn't he?
But it's the fact. For me, I've just realised
the bayonet lug work?
Yes, it will take a genuine bayonet.
Down
to the fact that it's got reproduction proof markings on the side of it, which are period correct.
He is rapid on that bolt as well.
Yeah.
He is rapid.
Yeah, well, it is. I was watching the videos on it earlier.
it's
a really short throw.
It is a very short throw, and it does mean that, like you said, you can be so quick on the bolt. You can get shot after shot after shot with it, and it's not going to hurt your hand. Well, actually, it does hurt your hand, because obviously it's just a round ball on the end, and it can, after a while, start to hurt your hand. But, yeah, I love it. I think the thing's brilliant, and I can't wait to pull it apart.
Does he ever have any feed issues with that mag? Because that's obviously
nothing. Uses the L96 style fin, which goes in there. So basically, the BBs are pushed forward by a fin and up a ramp into the loading chamber. So, but yeah, I'm really keen to see what can be done with it. Just to bring it up a little bit.
Yeah, if you're collecting stuff, I think that is absolutely a piece you want in your collection.
Yeah.
Just as a World War II. I know what you're saying about the Thompson and stuff. The Thompson is the iconic one.
I'd say M1 Garand is.
No. You could have one of those, the Garand and the car.
You'd have to go gas though, wouldn't you, for a Garand?
You've got the... We want the ping.
Yeah, but I say no, I do like the M1 carbine. Now I'm... Just one night instead.
Yeah. Send the Dvesky back.
Yeah. Cancel the order, Deathcorn. Send me an M1 carbine.
Don't do that. Keep it to one side.
Yeah.
Soon, my friend. Soon.
Yeah, no, that's a really nice bit of kit. I like the fit and finish. I like the slightly weathered look to all of the metal, actually.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it's 1,000 yards, yeah. Sir.
Mike, man.
I mean, what we were talking about last week about decorating rifles, trying to make white rifles look a bit battle weary and worn. As lovely as that is, would you ever consider sort of scuffing it on purpose, wearing some wood varnish?
Do you know? I would be very tempted to take that finish off and put a darker, slightly more worn finish on it.
Maybe a few
but that is a bit
etchings on it for how many kills you've had with it, just into the stock.
Give it a story. That would be cool.
See, I wouldn't. I'd let it, something like that, I'd let age naturally,
covered in dust and
I think that the
throw it in the bottom of the trench.
I think the problem with it is they were never this kind of colour. They've tried to match a colour that they never really were when they first come out.
Again, they're probably not expecting people like Josh to run around CQB with it.
No, definitely not.
A nice wall piece.
For reenactors or wall hangers. But I would be really tempted to just strip all of that off and make it much darker.
Mm. Yeah, give it a few, like you said, a few little choice nicks out of it or something like that, just to give it a history. Give it a
find a bayonet and just keep putting it on and off to wear it down.
I'm
really happy that we've had two very unique guns on today.
This has been a positive. We're never normally like this.
No.
There's always there's a gripe about something and someone hates it.
Negative.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even rate that. It was that good.
But I do. I really like that, and it sort of swayed me because I'm not a sniper. I don't really like sniping, I get too bored. But if, like I say, when you're talking about having a collector's piece from each genre, I think I'd go for something like that, just because it is usable, and it feels really well put together. It doesn't, like, obviously he uses it all the time. It's not getting, you know,
it's not breaking on
breaking or nothing. Nothing's coming loose, there's no wobble in any of it. Or
he's going to curse
that.
Us now. The next time he goes out with that, something's going to break on him.
Just snaps in hand.
It was adjusting my front sight, it was set. Now it's fallen off.
But yeah, no, really, really good now.
Nice.
I like that.
Nice piece of kit.
Cool.
Mm.
Two very nice pieces of kit.
I vote.
Both CQB rated.
Yeah. 10 mini guys.
Okay, what are we moving on to now, Kai?
So we're moving on to, three out of the four, I've listened to Christian Craighead on the Sean Ryan show. And it was just, that man is just incredible.
Have you got a bit of a man crush?
Oh, God, yeah, 100%. 100%.
He's so careful about how he words.
He's
not putting a BB in the jar then.
No, he did swear a few times. He's been so ill-treated that you can tell there's no trust from that person's eyes. Like, you could be talking to him, like, and you could be the nicest person because he doesn't know you. He's not going to tell you everything. And I think even if you do know him well, he's still not going to tell you everything.
There was a few times during the course of the interview, Sean was like, you know, trying to get across to him, you know, this is a place where you can say things and, you know, it doesn't matter what other people are going to think of you. If you've got something to say, you need to say it.
Yeah.
And he still maintained that inner discipline to not go, do you know what? Screw him and let him have it.
It's he's very still professional of him, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can tell he's a professional soldier.
He said he's let people in before, and he's been like, as soon as he does it, they leave him. And like he always claims that he's just a solo man.
What, relationships,
or just anything, are you talking like about families, anything. Yeah, he says no matter if he shows people the real him, it all goes wrong. So he said it's all, he's never really his full self. And like he just seems like an abandoned soul that is just.
Well, what a person to become as well. Like, oh yeah. During the interview, they're talking about things that happened to him as a kid, and always knowing that his direction was going to be to go. He wanted to be a soldier, and all that type of stuff, and where he's from to become the person he is. Could you imagine if he'd gone the other way with it?
Yeah.
You know, someone who's that dedicated to what he wanted to do, and imagine how that could have gone so much worse if he'd gone the other way.
Yeah. And do you know what? That seems to be a recurring thing when you look at a lot of the SF guys who are now out and doing things within the media. Ant Middleton, Mark Billy Billingham, Jason Fox, and now Christian Craig. They've all had really sort of very colourful upbringings where they could have literally gone one way or the other, and they chose specifically to go into the forces, and it's made them who they are, and it's stopped them from going down a completely opposite road into a life of crime.
That's what they were saying. There was one of the interviews they were talking about, like, these are the type of guys they want for SF. Yeah. They want the guys that have got the potential to be the other way. They want the, he said in the interview, they want the naughty boy.
On and off, and I think that's the.
But that is something that goes all the way back to the Desert Rats and the first incarnation of the SAS. You look at they were the guys who were literally in military prison for fighting their superior officers, for fighting their other squad members. They didn't fit with the rest of the.
Yeah.
The military, norm, the norm. They went against the grain, and they were the ones who they wanted, you know. So that harkens back right to the start of it, really.
And that's what Craighead is. He just wasn't a normal person, really, was he? He had all this bad upbringing, and he openly admits that part of his life and all this. And as Si says, he could have gone the other way, but he said everything happened for that reason to be at that point in Nairobi.
Mm-hmm.
So he, all those points where he felt like he was always alone, he then became that lone man, I'm here, send me in type thing.
I think it's a shame that that he's fighting so hard over the release of his book, One Man In.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an absolute corker of a book if he can actually get it out for public consumption.
Yeah.
It would be an interesting read.
Oh yeah, 100%. But it was just the whole thing where he was basically sort of punished for doing what he'd done. He was never told no as an order, don't go in. He went in. As he said, supposedly, he went in.
There's footage of a guy that looks like me.
Yeah. 700 people he saved. Or he says, supposedly saved. 700 people. Guarded for his actions. Like, he literally... Disavowed. Yeah, just...
It's like you said though, isn't it? At the end of the day, the motto is who dares wins.
Exactly, yeah.
Not who asks permission.
Yeah.
And he didn't hesitate. When he had that phone call from that person that he knew who was in there, he did not hesitate. He jumped in his car, he went there, he was the first person on that scene.
Yeah.
He heard gunfire and thought it was... Well,
that's what he's trained to do.
Yeah.
Run towards gunfire.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what he did. So you're punishing a guy for being what you...
You made him be.
Yeah.
He should be held up as the pinnacle of what our special forces are trained to do, to save lives and to completely disregard their own well-being. and go in and get the job done.
And watching them talk to him, I don't think he even for 1 minute in his head went, all the stuff that this could go against me.
No.
He went, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
No hesitation, no question. This is what's going down. Made his decision there and then and made things happen. You know, it's just, it's crazy that he can be treated in such a fashion.
Mm.
You know, if that was...
Because they say he set a bad representative of the forces and anyone that's joining, because it was essentially a one-person job. And they don't want that.
I think it says that one person is enough, and you are trained that highly, and you're that capable.
Exactly that.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Well,
what's the old saying? And it takes nothing to join a crowd, but it takes everything to stand alone.
Hmm.
A man's not a sheep.
One man can make a difference.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It speaks that. This is what I've never understood about the military. That in itself, that whole thing that you did, speaks volumes about the way that they have trained their special forces guys to such a high level that that one of them on their own can make such a big difference.
Mm. Yeah.
This is what I mean. He should have been made the poster boy for that.
Exactly.
If this is what one trained individual is capable of, imagine what a team of 10 of these boys are.
Exactly.
Imagine if it was,
imagine a whole platoon.
Bravo 6 kind of whatever, to some sort of seal.
And that's the other joke, isn't it? It's like, what was I going to say? There was something that was along that line I was going to say. So we'll circle back to it. Go on, carry on.
I was going to say, I feel, taken away from that, it stems back to that, like stigma of like the British forces is just like, oh, you served, yeah, didn't enjoy it that much, blah, blah, blah. You go to America, BB in the jar, yeah, it's valor and everything. Like if that was a lone Navy SEAL operator,
yeah,
my god, there'll be parades, there'll be a day named after him, there'll be all sorts, he'll be key to the city.
He would be what's the shooter called?
Chris Carr.
Yeah.
I was about to say, look at what happened with Chris Carr. Look at the way that the American media and public embraced the fact that Chris Carr had done what he'd done, supposedly, because obviously there's a lot of stuff that was never corroborated. Mm. But, I mean, I visit America quite a lot. This year round, we went to the rodeo while we were there.
Mr. Frequent Flyer over
there. Mr. Frequent Flyer. But I see it over there and I see it over here on a yearly basis. And if anything, the Americans are becoming more patriotic towards their military and we're becoming far less.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to a football stadium here, everyone stand up, thank all of the men and women for serving in the forces, sing the national anthem.
Yeah, they all stand for their anthem, take their hats off and everything. Mm-hmm. Very patriotic.
Yeah, I mean...
You get people booing during the national anthem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yet, I just went to a rodeo and the first 15 minutes was them singing about how they're, sending their boys away and supporting them from afar and sort of, it almost makes you disappointed to be British when you hear how proud they are of their, of their country and their forces. And
And again, it's just like to make the point what, in the interview and everything, he says every person in his team and other branches and all that thanked him, said you're a bloody hero, yeah, people that didn't like him said I now have so much more respect for you. He said it was just the hire was so worried of what happened, it was just, it's just like there's paperwork for them, it's right. Like
and you wonder what kind of nefarious dealings have been going on behind the scenes that he could have maybe potentially disrupted for them as well, because they've all got shady
it's so silly. It's just like he has just done an incredible thing, and rather than treat him better than what he is before, it's like you don't obviously have to don him a hero. So obviously he feels his way is not, but it's just they've just like cast him aside.
Speaking of the hero thing, this is where I wanted to circle back. It was he said a part in the interview where he grew up watching films like Rambo and Die Hard, which is where the lone man stands up against the problem and is the hero. And all that cinema growing up for him is seeing these types of films where these guys were idolized for doing that.
Yeah.
And yet when push come to the shove and the facts were the facts, he can be demonized for something like that. Mm-hmm. Yet, how many boys across the countries, around the world, all wanted to be Rambo, all wanted to be Commando, you know, and all these types of
they
things.
They all need to be Greyhead.
Glamorized into the movies.
Interestingly enough, though, you look at that, you look at Rambo, you look at Die Hard and all the rest of it, they're anti-heroes.
Yeah.
They're imperfect people. They've all got their flaws. I mean, Rambo's a psycho and he's you know, should be medicated.
John McClane's going for a divorce.
Yeah, he's going for a divorce and he's clearly having a tough time.
And they've all been told not to do it.
To do things.
Yeah. Well, even in Rambo 2, he's sent in, but he's only sent to take photographs. He's not to engage.
Mm.
And yet he sees something that's not right. And he goes, I'm going against it, and off he goes.
Look at the similarities there between the anti-heroes in those films and the lives and upbringings of our Special Forces guys, mm-hmm. and the vast majority of them. It's almost like a mirror image.
But it's funny, because like you say, they're classed as the anti-hero in the movie, but I would have never watched Rambo and go, he's the hero of the movie. He's not the anti-hero, even though it's portrayed. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's portrayed as that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
But everything that happened, I think he got thanked by, I don't know, one of our government officials, he said.
Who then got sacked.
So he was thanked by someone higher, got sacked. But he said...
phone call and a letter.
Yeah.
And he lost his position.
Because of the seat
of chair or wherever he was at the time.
Absolutely stupid. And then he said he was in Washington, wasn't he, doing some stuff.
Yeah.
And he got called in by the... Secret Service
to give them a talk, he said, to give them a talk about the situation. And
then you have also the likes of the American firearms companies like Zev, who have taken him with open arms and said, we want to make a gun for you, you know, we want your input. And the Americans have fully embraced him, think he's, you know, they're the ones who come up with Obi-Wan Nairobi.
It's like you said, if that boy had a trident on his shoulder,
a different story.
Be a whole new character.
And this is the thing.
And so that's a shame. That is a real shame.
Because we should be treating him that way.
Exactly. So he's been taken to Washington, or was in Washington. He's been taken around with the Special Forces guys. He's then sat with one of the representatives for about 45 minutes. And then that representative has gone, do you want to go meet the president? And this is President Trump. And the first thing Trump says is, thank you for saving Americans and the rest of those lives.
And he physically shakes his hand.
And he calls him President Trump throughout. He's just like, I don't care if I offend you, because he was the president at that time.
But what you said segues nicely into another reason we're talking about him today, which is his collaboration with
Zed System.
So they've made a new pistol dedicated. Well, it's not a new pistol, is it? It's
Zev. The OZ-9 was a pistol that was built to be a hybrid between a 1911 and a Glock. It takes Glock mags, it uses Glock polymer lower, but the angle of the grip is designed to closely match the 1911/2011. It's got a much steeper grip angle than, because it's easier to sort of hold and keep on target with that. And the vast majority of people that have used them prefer that grip angle. Zev called in Craighead and said, we want to do the Craighead model, which comes with a relief cut slide and compensator and some other bits and pieces, and it's in its own colour.
Yes. Am I correct in thinking this is the OZ-9C?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so this is for Craighead. Yeah,
not,
so,
it's not
so
compact it then.
No.
He's not keen on the compact stuff, is he?
No, he would rather carry a mid-sized gun.
Well, it comes with a compensator, but I understand you can
twist
and take it off, and you've just got to throw the barrel for whatever you're going to use on it. I think the selling point that I found was the frame. So the frame itself isn't connected to the lower of the pistol, is it? It's a separate entity. It provides longer rails. So presumably a much smoother and
more equipped fire. I would love to get somewhere and shoot one, but they're a lot of money, and obviously they're not going to get
over £2,000, $2,200
or something like that, and that's for the base gun. You don't see stuff like that in the ranges, unless it's in private ownership. I mean, of all the times I've been to the range, the amount of Americans that have said to me, oh, you want to shoot my pistol here, take it, have a few shots with it. They're very good at letting you use their stuff, but you can't hire stuff like that. The 2011s, the Staccatos and the DVCs and things like that, they just don't have them as hire guns. Loads 1911s, but anything more than your run-of-the-mill pistols, you don't really see. Not in Florida, anyway.
So not specifically the C version, but there is OZ9s available in airsoft variants.
Yes, PTS have gone and made one. They do. It's the OZ9 Ultra. They do two different variants of it. They do the standard Ultra, and then they do the Elite version. Or no, is it the Elite, and then one is the Ultra version? That's it. The Ultra version comes with a full CNC aluminium everything.
Yep.
And retails anywhere between £600 and £750.
Well, I found one for £775 that's available tomorrow if you want it. But that's a lot of money for a pistol.
On pre-order at the moment is the Chinesium variant, should we say.
Okay.
Which is going to be, I think they're about £260. So not too dissimilar to the Taran Tactical Pit Viper from Armour Works.
And they
take a Glock mag, which is handy.
Prefer it flush.
Yeah, I would prefer it in the multi-tan variant of the C version. I must admit, I think in plain black it doesn't look anything particularly special.
I have seen renderings of a tan version for airsoft, but I've not seen anything available yet. If you go directly onto PTS's website, they have got a tan variant on there which could be used to do a Craighead build.
It's nothing a rattle can cancel out.
Are you aware if the RMR on top of that's the Ultra version I've got a picture of. Is that with it?
No.
For that price?
No.
No, so they put it in the pictures, like you get it.
Yeah, they're going to juice it out.
Not included.
Yeah, that's a bit of a... Yeah.
I'm not tempted by the expensive one, because even at trade, it's still a lot of money.
Yeah. And look, what's the is it going to perform £750 better than another pistol?
I was about to say,
Every now and again, I mean, if you remember the GBLS 1911 that was seven rounds and was like £1,000, they did that in a real steel frame. That was £700 and some odd. Then you've got the RWA pistols that were out that were like £700 or £800 because they were... And then, like, the GHK Glock, which is, like, £450 and stuff like that. I think there is a market for them. You just don't see them very often because nobody's going to bang out £700 on a pistol, like, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I say no one's going to bang out £700 on a pistol, and then you go onto the high-capper boys' clubs, and they're, like, £2,000 to £3,000 deep into high-cappers, which is just blows my mind.
Yeah, that is
proper. But that's a very different... That's not an off-the-shelf gun. But I'm very tempted by the non-Ultra version. I was going to buy a Pit Viper anyway, but a lot of people have got those now, whereas I've not seen one of those fielded at all. That's Zev.
I think at that price you're not going to see many.
I think I'd wait for
a tan Chinese.
A tan one. So it looked the business.
I mean, there's nothing to say.
And I'd wait for Simer to produce it and call it the Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. It's just yellow.
Yes, it's the wrong colour. Oh, no.
It's going to be called the TW8 or something, isn't it?
The Kyle. No, that's the wrong guy.
The CH.
Yeah.
The CH1. There we go, there's the model.
It's the CR4P.
I don't know if I'm a fan of it.
To be fair, like some pistols you can look at. Like I look at the Pit Viper and I look, and the Sand Viper and all the rest of it, and I think that's a good looking pistol. Yeah. I like that. I don't actually.
There's nothing.
Maybe remove the compensator.
There's nothing really that jumps out of it.
The only thing that jumps out, right, is that colourway looks very, very, very similar to the hazelnut Ferrero Rocher that you get. Ferrero Rocher multi.
Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
So what is it, a 45 caliber Roche?
No, I don't think it's even 45, was it?
9mm.
Yeah,
9mm.
For me, there's nothing about it that actually says that's a really good looking pistol and I want that
in theory
in my life.
Yeah, true.
I like the kind of, I like the well, almost tritone, because it's offset by all the little black, but then you've got the like dusty silver
dusty snake.
Yeah, the dusty silver mag well at the base of that, which
well,
just kind of offsets.
Are we sure it's silver? Because that is tan, apparently.
Yes, that is tan. Yeah, it could just be another shade of tan.
I mean, in this light here, it is looking a bit tan.
No, it's not looking tan. Not even in the
It's like a dark metallic earth. Yeah, I don't know.
What do you make of that compensator?
No.
It's
like a key ring.
In the real steel world.
Yeah, bottle opener.
Yeah.
In the real steel world, it works. It does what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
It takes those gases from the cartridge, forces them up in the air, which forces the front of the gun down, which helps helps maintain some stability and reduce some of the upwards flip on the recoil. In airsoft, it does absolutely nothing. So hence why they've not put it on the airsoft gun.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what his new AR platform is?
No.
Because he's got one, and it's been Cerakoted, I presume, in like a bush stroke pattern.
No, I didn't know.
Oh.
Not seen it.
Well, there's that then.
We'll tune in next week. Tune in next week to find out more.
Yeah, I'd get it up, but I'm in airplane mode, so I can't.
Yeah, no.
Story of your sex tape.
Is that a BB in the jar?
No.
No, that's just... Yeah.
It's a bit of gas.
I get it up, but I'm in airplane mode.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not massively sold on that now. We've had two very positive reviews and then one which has fallen a bit short.
I think it's negative.
It's certainly negative for me on the PTS. I'm not paying that for a pistol. That's absolutely ridiculous.
That's two and a bit Noveskis if they turn up.
Yeah.
Two and a bit Noveskis and some upgrades. I the 7.75 in a pistol, really, like, to put it in perspective, my truck was £500.
Is that or a car?
Yeah.
And a set of tyres.
Yeah.
I am likely to buy the non-Ultra version because, for the exact reason we had that conversation the other day, I like different stuff that not a lot of people have got.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And it is going to definitely be a gun that not a lot of people are going to buy.
No.
Then is it really a gun that's going to be a head turner that is slightly different? I don't...
No, because it looks... No one's going to look at that and go, what is that?
Yeah.
They're just going to go, oh, is that some weird Glock thing?
Especially if it's in the black. I just don't think it looks anything in the black at all. I think you want it in the tan, in the multi.
You'd have to get it in the multi-tan. Mm. You'd have to get it in that. But if they do that, is it going to cost more? Is it going to be like 800?
I don't know. Or you get spray ops to have a go on it.
Colour match with the Ferrero Rocher wrapper.
Well, we've got... Yeah.
There's probably not...
There's options for it, but like you say, it's not going to be a head turner.
No.
And in the all black, it's just another stealth pistol. It's exactly why my 4.3, I just... got a black one because I wanted that stealth slimline, just
I mean,
one of the reasons I've never bought airsoft Glocks is, one, I find them generally massively unreliable, and two, I don't like the grip angle on them. Whereas that kind of overcomes that hurdle. That's why I constantly run 2011s and 1911s, because I prefer that sort of grip angle. So that for me could be a good go-between.
It's not a HK-45, I'm not interested.
No, it's not. And do you know what? I'm really tempted by one of those as well, but everybody's got them.
What about an FNX-45?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Who else has got them?
I sold one to Rich Martin and a couple of other guys.
I told you, don't sell people my pistols.
Have you ever had an experience...
Not what I told you.
There's a range of Taran Tactical Glocks you can get, isn't there?
Yeah.
Any good, or what do we think of those?
Depends which manufacturer they're coming from. APS do one, which will not cycle on CO2 mags, will not cycle... Well, it cycles okay on CO2 mags. Green gas mags, forget it. However, I just HPA'd a couple of mags, or HPA tapped a couple of mags with somebody, and it runs spotless.
That should be a BB in the jar for saying HPA.
Oh, yeah. That's at least two.
But the APS one comes with the full TTI upper rail and the Omega frame, which is an upgraded frame, which has got sort of pre-molded flared magwell and stuff like that. It's really nice. And the Evike or EMG do their own version of it. And then I think Army Armament do one, and a couple of others do one.
Molded flared magwell is in, it can't be taken off.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's actually part of the lower frame.
Oh, no. Oh, yes.
Well, the problem... you'll be happy about this. That pre-molded flared magwell was one reason he couldn't put an M4 HPA adapter in it.
Yeah.
And had to tap the mags.
Small wins, I suppose. Small wins.
I'll take a win.
If I had a pre-molded flared magwell, I'd take a hacksaw to it.
Yeah.
Cut it off,
or just don't buy one.
Or just don't buy the pistol.
Yeah. Hey, if I was given it,
yeah,
if I was given it, I'd cut
sell
it off
straight away.
Yeah.
Get out there with the multi-tool. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, good,
cool,
excellent. Any other choice words? Sorry, no.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Look at what you could have won.
I think we've covered quite a lot today.
We have indeed. Thank you, dear listener, for joining us yet again on the new and very toned down and swearing free.
Nearly since 93.
Nearly swearing free.
Swearing free since the end of 23.
We'll get there.
Should we all have a glance before the next podcast at what's been released at SHOT Show and anything new that's coming up? Because obviously that realistically is going on right now, and there are some new things coming out at the moment, but obviously it's still ongoing, so we don't know exactly what's...
No, but by the time we're ready for our next episode,
we should said
Dr. Dre.
While I'm thinking about it, actually, you'll get to see, if you're going to IWA again this year, you'll get to see the Wolverine version of that.
I think we are. We're debating it. It's
can I come with you?
You can ask. We're either going to, depending on what goes on, we're either going to try and smash it in one day, because it's going to be a tough one. It means an early morning flight, because there's a flight at like 6 in the evening and it gets back at like
whatever. To Newquay?
No, to London, and then we'll stay in London, because they're not flying from Heathrow anymore.
Is it the first weekend of March?
Yeah, 29th of February, so Thursday 29th.
It's literally the weekend after I'm at the British Shooting Show.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I don't know what we're doing. We're either going to do it on the 29th and do it in a day, or we're going to go up on the 29th in the afternoon and do 2 days. Okay. So, because there is some stands that we want to see.
I mean, just ask, look. I'll pay for. I can apply and pay for my own ticket through Outlaw anyway. I have reason to actually be able to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd be interested in possibly coming with you guys.
You can ask him.
Oh, I could do, couldn't I? Yeah. I am friends with him.
We're
I keep forgetting that.
So if we go, it'll be probably me, Lincoln, and Polly. But we're pre-planning a lot of stuff and then finishing, closing up, and meetings hopefully.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things we want to go down. So. A lot of the stuff I'm not going to say out loud. You have to watch this space for Crappers shop. I almost forgot the shop like you do.
I never forget the shop.
Yeah.
Good.
Fabulous. Right. Yeah. Let's wrap it up there, guys. Anyone like to say anything?
That was our only tangent.
Well, not really.
No, still related.
Still related.
Yeah. Thank you for sort of grinning and bearing with us. If you're still listening to us and you were there with the dark times and now with the good times again, I think we all appreciate it.
We've got some good feedback from some people, especially Josh. Josh gave some feedback, who lent us his Lee Enfield today.
Yeah.
So shout out to Shortcrust.
Hey! Also Shortcrust.
And again, thanks to Kurt for sorting me out some mags.
Yeah.
Do you want to thank anyone? Your mum for being here?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mum. Jesus.
Little baby tiny Jesus.
Right.
Anyway,
let's end it there before
like,
we go.
Subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and follow us on socials.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
You just stole in the last one. No,
do you want to share it?
Okay, bye.
Love you.